Without further delay, it is our honor to invite Sheikh Ali Himani from the Republic of India, who is going to be speaking to us tonight about the revolutionary women of Islam. Let's go ahead and invite him with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi min nafsi wa min ash-shaytani layn rajim. Bismillahi rahmani rahim wa bihi nasta'in. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa habibina wa tabib qulubina Abul Qasim Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Please recite the salawat. Allahumma wa qala Allah ta'ala fi kitabil mubin أن تقوموا لله مثنى وفرادى. Please recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. We present our condolences to the Imam of the time, as the whole Qom is in the state of mourning on the commemoration of the day of wafat or shahadat, that we can discuss during the lecture, that of Lady Masuma, Lady Fatima Masuma, and she's the honor of the city of Qom. So we present our condolences to the Imam, and we seek intercession from the Imam of the time and from Lady Fatima Salamullah alayha. Please recite the salawat. Salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajam. Brother Shahriyar spoke about the status of Lady Fatima, so there's not much to add here. Just a couple of incidents that I wanted to add here, and a couple of statements from the elderly scholars of the holy city of Qom who talk about the status of Lady Fatima salamullah alayha. Sometimes you see, if you've studied usul, you know that in usul you have the bayan, the statements, the words that you receive from the Ahlul Bayt, and sometimes you see their actions. Similarly, when it comes to ulama, sometimes you hear from them about the status, and sometimes you see it in their actions. So let me narrate the actions of Allama Tabatabai every time he visited the holy shrine of Hazrat Masuma, Fatima Masuma, Salamullah alayha. He says that the moment I enter, and the people around him, his shagirdan, his students used to narrate this. He said, the moment he enters the holy shrine of Hazrat Masume, right from the beginning, he used to touch the walls, kiss the walls, and literally kiss every door before he reaches the main place and the main zari and the shrine of Hazrat Masume. A similar thing is also narrated about Ayatollah Behjat, that he used to honor the place so much that he used to consider it so filled with energy and piety and taqwa. And please recite a salawat. And spirituality, that right from the entrance he would, touch the walls and kiss the doors and walk towards the haram of Hazrat Masum salamullah alayha. Recently, I was listening to Ustad Ali. I'm sure most of you must have heard of him and must have even heard him. Ustad Ali, in one of his lectures, talks about this term that we recite in the ziyarah of Hazrat Masuma salamullah alayha. The term that we recite is Ishfa'i lana fil jannah. He says this is a very peculiar term. This term is not saying Ishfa'i lana fil yawmil akhir. It's not saying that do shafa'at for us on the day of judgment. Do shafa'at for us when we are going through a difficult time. No. He says that shafa'at is reserved for Bibi Fatima salamullah alayha. She's the one who's going to do shafa'at for all the mu'mineen on the day of Qiyamah. She's going to be there, and we have narrations about it, that how she's going to handpick, cherry pick all the mu'mineen, all the Shia of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and do shafa'at for her. So it's not about fil yawm al-akhir, fil yawm al-deen, but it is fil jannah. So he's saying that no, you've passed the day of Qiyamah and now you are in Jannah. And this is where this term which says fil jannah reflects on the fact that Bibi Masuma is going to elevate our positions, darajat, in the heaven. And that's why Ishfa'ilana fil Jannah. So that with the help of her, from the knowledge that she has and from her lessons, we will be able to elevate our positions in the Jannah. So that is the status of Lady Fatima Salamullah Alayha. And we are blessed to be here in the holy city of Qom, in her proximity. And inshallah, we pray that we are able to visit regularly and benefit from her position in the Qom. Now, the verse that I recited at the beginning of the khutbah was Antaqumu lillahi. Then it says Masna aw Furada. This is referred to as the verse of Qiyam Lillah, rising or uprising for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This verse is regularly used when it comes to the revolutionary discussions or the movements that are created, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that for the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fi sabilillah, in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rise up. And it doesn't matter whether you are two or even a single person. Rise up. Rise up against what? Rise up against the taghut of the time. And to do what? To protect. To protect what? Again, these questions are very important. If we ask these questions, it leads us to that essence of this verse. It says, rise up against taghut so that you can protect either the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the system of wilayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the sunnat of ilahi. This is the sunnat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he establishes either a wali on the land for guidance, for establishing a system, for helping people elevate and rushd and progress and gain proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understand religion better, or with the help of the wali, a system is established. So this has been the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to establish a wali or to establish a wali with a system. And it has been the sunnah of the muttaqeen, those who are pious and those who those who are God-wary and those who are believers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they defend the wali of the time or the system of wilayat of the time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it doesn't matter whether you are just two of you or one of you or in the groups. What is important is to rise up against this kind of a movement and support the system of wilayat. Now you will find that this system of wilayat and these defenders, now we are not talking about the wali, we are not talking about the system, we are talking about these who are the defenders. Now those who are the defenders of wali and the system of wilayat, you will find them in two groups. One is awliya Allah, those who are the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who defend the system of wilayat and the wali itself. And then they are awliya shaitan, the ones who are the supporter of shaitan, who wants the taghut to be there, to rule, to establish their system so that they attain their own targets, they attain their own purposes. And this system, this sunnah has been there right from the beginning. You will see it in history, that you will find these pious men and pious women supporting the system, standing up for it, protecting it. And on the other hand, you will find these other category of people who are the supporters of system of shaitan and the wali of shaitan and friends of shaitan who are constantly fighting against this. Now, most of the time in history, when we go back and look, we find that this role was played by men. The men used to stand up. The men used to lead the uprising. The men used to create these movements and then stand up against the taghut and go to war and even get martyred. And this was a very natural and normal thing. However, in history, you will find that there are few women who are celebrated as the heroes of religion, who are celebrated as the heroes of Islam. Why? Because they did something that other women did not do. Something that Brother Shahriyar also pointed out, that these women rose up. And when they rose up with a particular intention. And that intention was either to protect the wali of the time or to protect the system of the wilayat of the time. Sometimes they participated with their wealth, sometimes they participated with their knowledge, sometimes they participated even with their lives. So if you look at the history of Islam, because the topic today is about the revolutionary women of Islam, if you look at the history of Islam, you would see that it all started with Bibi Khadija, salamullah alayha, from the time of the Holy Prophet herself, himself, that she was actively involved in supporting the Holy Prophet, who was the Wali of the time. In Mecca, the Wali was there, the system was not there, right? However, even to protect the Wali, she was right there with all her effort and support, providing financial support, providing moral support, providing all kinds of help that is required, even to the extent of bankruptcy. Even to the extent of bankruptcy. And you will find it in the narrations that when it was her last moments and she was on her deathbed, and the Holy Prophet approaches her and he sits next to her, the first question she asks her is, did I fulfill my responsibility? Meaning that apart from being your wife, I had a responsibility as a Muslim woman to defend the Wali of the time, to protect the Wali of the time, to support the Wali of the time. Have I fulfilled my services for that? And then you will see the same seerah being followed in the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that you will find Bibi Fatima salamullah alayha standing up for the Wali of her time. Right? These are things that you must have heard millions of times. But this is where we need to understand that we hear the narrations, we hear the incidents. However, how much of it do we apply in ourselves? How much of it do we practice, right? Brother Shahriyar pointed out about Jihad-e-Taba'een, right? Now this Taba'een that we are talking about, if you look at the seerah of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, Jihad-e-Taba'een started with Bibi Fatima salamullah alayha, right? Right after Ghadir-e-Khum, when people, did Saqifah and then they do Ghasb of the Wilayat, Jihad-e-Taba'een started right from there. Bibi Fatima salamullah alayha used to go to everyone's house and tell them that, look, you're wrong. And I'm sure some of you might have read this book, the 250-year Insane Diviso Panja Saleh, 250-year man, right? Old man or whatever. Now, there we talk about the seerah of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, all the 12 imams. Similarly, when we come to the heroes, the lady heroes of Islam, you will see a different seerah for everyone. Each of them had a separate method. Right? If you look at the method of Bibi Fatima salamullah alayha, she had a very revolutionary method. She had a very uprising method. She would go to masjid and give khutbah there. She would go to the darbar, to the court, and then give fatwa there. Stand up against them and bring evidences to point out that, look, you're wrong. And going to the court itself is a very strong act. It's a very powerful act, right? So there was an uprising and there was a movement. And that movement might not have moved a lot of people because they were scared of the tyrant king there. But that shows that there is a responsibility upon the women in Islam, right? A lot of times, if you look at the Western world today, they talk about feminism and they talk about how weak the women in Islam are and how, we oppress them. But if you look at the seerah of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the women were given the opportunity and freedom to rise, to create movements, right? And that's the kind of power that was given right from the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Please recite a salwat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraja. So the women had that ability, the maturity to understand the socio-political environment and create those movements. Now, here are some points that I would like to share with the men's rather than the women's side, though we are talking about the revolutionary women. There's a reason I want to bring up this point, and I find it extremely important and necessary. And I have witnessed this, and that's why I want to bring this up. And probably women would also appreciate me bringing up this point here. A lot of us are actively involved in a lot of activities. Be it reciting majlis, going to mimbar, or socio-political activities, or activities on social media. And we attend a lot of programs and gain a lot of knowledge, hear a lot of information, listen to speeches, discuss speeches, attend programs. And then when we go back home, what is it that we talk about with our family? What is it that we talk about with our family? The same old about how the food is, and this tastes like that, that tastes like that. You need to get these groceries and those groceries. Here's your list for the weekend. These things needs to be fixed. If that is what we are doing, then we are not doing tarbiyat of women according to the seerah of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. If women were only supposed to take care of the household, then you would not find these women in Islam who uprose and created movements. When did this happen? How did this happen? Why did this happen? Because they were upbrought. The tarbiyat happened in a way that they were taught that if it is required, you need to be able to rise. Right? I know so many tullab here that who attend multi-various programs and conduct programs, and they go and deliver revolutionary speeches. But when you talk to their spouses, when the spouses interact, they're like, probably they don't even know what the husband is out there speaking about. You know, one day she would get a news of, you know, your husband got martyred, and she'd be like, sorry, but why? I mean, he was a very gentle soul. I never saw him raise his voice or, you know, actively participate in any revolutionary activity. Why did he got martyred, right? But the fact is, husband is super active, but wife have no information about the husband's activities. Point number one. Point number two, she doesn't have information about what's going on, what is happening at socio-political level in the world. Right? She doesn't even know what's right and what's wrong. Why should I support Rahabar? Why should I support this system? If someone corners her and tells her, your husband speaks so many things on your social media, he talks about this, he brings in this Dalil, how can he speak like this? And she's like, I have no answer. I have no proof. I have nothing to defend. And that is really sad upon us, that we are not doing tarbiyat of our women folk. We should spend time talking about these things over the lunches and dinners and tell them about it, that what's happening. A lot of scholars who've, you know, in this Mahsa Amini situation, a lot of them, you know, falter. A lot of them came up and gave speeches and wrote letters without realizing what's happening. What do you think would happen to women who are sitting at home, who are only being fed information through social media? So one part of this creating women heroes in Islam was upon the parents, on the mothers and the spouses, that how they did tarbiyat of the women at home so that they rose up and became the leaders of their time to create those movements. I just wanted to, you know, open a parenthesis here, Hashi Zani, so that, you know, something that we should look upon ourselves as a responsibility, so that, you know, tomorrow, if, you know, inshallah, but tomorrow if you get martyred, there should be someone behind you to carry on your path, just like Imam Hussein alayhi salam had Bibi Zainab. So you should have someone behind you who knows and understands your ideology and can take your path forward. Right? So now let's come back to this actual part where Bibi Fatima Salamullah Alayha, she's one example that we have as a revolutionary hero who was the one to start this Jihad-e-Tab'een and went out there and stood in the court of the enemy and would directly speak to them and challenge them. Not just speak to them, but challenge their authority. Say, you call yourself rightful leader or rightful caliph, I challenge your authority through the Quran, through the traditions, through the seerah. And then she say, you're not. Right? And that was the courage of the women at that time. And then you see the same seerah passing on to Bibi Zainab Salamullah Alayha, that even in her actions, you will find that she never backed out. Even after the Battle of Karbala, when all her family members were martyred, beheaded, the heads were being carried forward in front of them, there was a purpose for all these actions. The purpose was to break the souls. The purpose was to break their backbones. The purpose was to break the movement. But they said no. Even if the Imam of the time is martyred, but the system has to be protected. The system of Vilayat, the Wali of the time, which is Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, they have to be protected and have to be defended. So she stood in the court of Yazid and gave khutbah and challenged his position. So that was the seerah. And this seerah gets carried forward, right? A lot of books have been written about Hazrat Masumah Salamullah Alayha. When you read those books, you barely find any information which talks about her revolutionary personality, which actually opens up this whole incident of her moving from Medina towards Khorasan. You know, a lot of books write about this, that, you know, she was crying bitterly for her brother, and then she decided to come and meet the brother, right? But we need to understand that the seerah of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam has never been like this, that, you know, I'm just missing my brother, let me go and meet him. No, you need to draw an analogy here to understand what was happening. After the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, after the Karbala, there was a particular methodology adopted by Imam Sajjad alayhi salam for revolution. He adopted a specific method, and that method was two-pronged method. One, the du'as, Sahife Sajjadia, in which he would constantly talk about the environment and, you know, getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those du'as, in a way, are hidden guidance for the ummah to understand that who the rightful wali is. And second, crying. He resorted to crying in a way that the enemies could not torture him anymore. He would go anywhere, he would see that, you know, they're sacrificing a goat, he would cry. He would see someone drinking cold water, he would cry. This crying was not out of being weak. That was his method of revolution. Now bring this to Hazrat Masumah Salamullah Alayha. That when Imam Raza Alayhi Salam was taken away from Medina and he was taken to Khurasan, one of the methodologies that Hazrat Masumah Salamullah Alayha adopted was the method of weeping for revolution. She wept bitterly at every given occasion and constantly pointed out that the rightful wali of the time is under house arrest at the court of Ma'mun, and would constantly bring to the attention of the people. Imagine someone from the household of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is constantly crying. People ask about it. Why? What happened? Like, my brother has been taken away. He was the Imam of the time. He was our guide. He was the beacon. He was the light of hope. And now the tyrants have taken him away, and the beacon of darkness and the beacon of tyranny is taking over the beacon of light. And she would constantly mention about Imam Raza alayhi salam. And brother Shahriyar rightly pointed out that she is the narrator of this word, is this tradition, Man kuntu maula fa haza aliun maula. There's a purpose for it. There's a reason for it that she became the narrator of this tradition. Why? Because she wanted to say that, look, we are from the household of Ali alayhi salam, from the household of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and against us were the Umayyas. If at all, Sallamna, the way we discuss in Hawza, Sallamna, that if it was not our rightful ownership on the Hukumat, then the Umayyads should be ruling it. Why? Because Umayyads took it away from us, usurped it from us. So if we are not doing it, then the usurpers should be there. But now that the usurpers are gone, who should be there? Who should be sitting on the throne? The Fatimiyun, the Alaviyun, the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and not the Abbasids. So bringing up this tradition itself points out that man kuntu mawla fahaza aliun mawla means this wilayat has been transferred from the Holy Prophet to Imam Ali alayhi salam, and from him to Imam Hassan, and so on and so forth to Imam Raza alayhi salam. And then there's a discussion over here which talks about that what wilayat has been transferred, the wilayat tashri'i or the wilayat takwini. A lot of scholars from our Sunni brothers, they bring in these verses and they say, look, it says atiullah wa atiur rasul wa ulil amri minkum, right? So this atiullah and atiur rasul means obey Allah and obey the Prophet, and the ulil amri minkum, it doesn't say atiullah atiur rasul wa atiu ulil amri minkum. There's no atiu after that. So then it doesn't necessarily have to be a masoom imam. Some of the scholars agree that the Ahlul Bayt were masoom, but they also say that it doesn't necessarily have to be a masoom imam. On the other hand, some of the Sunni scholars, they come around and say, no, the siyah of kalam, the tone of the verse is like this. It says atiullah, so is Allah masoom? Is Allah the entity who does not go wrong or falter? Yes. Atiur rasul, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Rasul Khuda sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ma'asum? Yes. So there is ismat in this part. And this wow connects this ati'u to the ulil amri as well. And therefore the ulil amri minkum is only for the ma'asumeen. Some of the Sunni scholars say this. And then they say that unfortunately we are not able to find anyone in our time who's a ma'asum. And therefore it goes into the hands of those who are not masoom. They say it's very difficult for us to identify who a masoom is. And this is where again Bibi Fatima Masuma Salamul Alayha says, no, what are you talking about? Where is the question? It is pretty clear. Why? Man kuntu mawla fahaza aliun mawla. So for whoever I am the wali, my ismat is being transferred to Ali alayhi salam. So he will become your rightful leader. So this was one of the movements. This was one of her revolutionary act of uprising against the tyrant Ma'mun by weeping and constantly bringing up Imam Raza alayhi salam in her discussions and talks. This was one. Then she realized that the situation is worsening. The way Ma'mun is proceeding and the way Imam Raza alayhi salam is responding to Ma'mun is changing, the pattern is changing. Earlier, Imam Raza alayhi salam was not very actively refuting and standing up and showing his disagreement to an extent. But then certain events took place in the court of Ma'mun. One, he was calling in the Yahudi and the Masihi scholars to debate with Imam Raza alayhi salam to prove that, you know, he is not really all that masoom and he is not the holder of all that knowledge. But then when Imam Raza alayhi salam used to do ghalaba and overtake them, overrule them, this is where Ma'mun got worried. Then there was this movement of translation which he was bringing in the books from Greece and other places and translating it into Arabic so that based on philosophy he can prove that we don't need an imam like this. Even when this was not working, then you will find in historical books very clearly written that Ma'mun had established a proof, a burhan, to prove that the rightful owner of Khilafat after the Holy Prophet was Imam Ali alayhi salam, and it was actually usurped from him. And then he wanted to say that I want to return it back to Imam Raza alayhi salam and let him become the Waliya Ahad. And this is where Imam Raza says, no, I'm not taking it. So the socio-political dynamics of the time were changing. And this is where Bibi Fatima, Masuma Salamullah Alayha, realized that now is the time to rise. Because if I do not, then there's another Karbala that is going to happen. There's another martyrdom that is going to happen. And I have to defend the wali of the time. I have to defend the progeny of Bibi Fatima Salamullah Alayha. So she moves from Medina. And this movement is not just a simple travel so that she can go and meet her brother, but she came around with more than 400 people in her caravan. There are different traditions. Some say it's about 40 and 80, and some tradition says there were more than 400 people in her caravan. So she moved from Medina. And with her caravan, she traveled from Medina all the way with the intention to reach Khurasan. Every stop that they would pause, she would talk about Imam Raza alayhi salam. She would talk about the Silsilat al-Zahab. She would talk about all the traditions and point out, and particularly this tradition about Man Kuntu Mawla Fahaz Aliun Mawla. And this meant that more people were joining her. And the caravan was growing in numbers, meaning that she was actually moving towards leading a revolution, leading an uprising against the Ma'mun. And that's why when she reached Save, there was this massacre that happened, that people attacked the caravan, and many of her relatives and elite members of the caravan were massacred. And some say that she was also, you know, hurt, or some say that not, if not physically hurt, but she was psychologically and mentally very disturbed when she saw all these massacre and killings happening in front of her. And some do the analogy with Bibi Zainab Salamullah Alayha, saying that, you know, it was exactly like what Bibi Zainab went through when she saw the event of Karbala, saw all her brothers and all her companions and the companions of his brother being martyred. It affected her very deeply. And essentially, after 1.5 years, she passed away, right? So they say that this is what happened in Save. There was a mass massacre that happened. And she was either wounded or she, you know, took it really deep to the heart, and then she fell sick. It was only after this that the events took a different turn. Now, I would want to digress a little here. I know I don't have much time on me, but I want to digress a little here, and I want to bring up this point. Looking at the current commotion that is happening in Iran, the current commotion about the hijab and all the events that are happening today. Now, here's a big question that we need to ask ourselves, right? We saw the role of the women who are from the Hizb al-Shaytan, the Awliya of Shaytan, the friends of Shaytan. What are they doing? And we also saw a certain steps and movements from the Awliya Allah, the Hizbullah, that they are doing, right? Then now we are faced with a question: what is my role in this? Particularly the women, you know, we being tulab and we having families here, what is our role in this whole event? Do we become just the spectators and watch the show because it has nothing to do, I have nothing to do with the government here, and it's a battle between the people and the government here, and what role do I play? Or do I have a role here and I should look at being actively involved in this? So this is where the women need to understand that what role do they have to play. And rightly pointed out by Rahbar a little while ago that Jihad-e-Tabi'een is the most important step right now. Why? Because people need to know and understand that what is it that Islam is talking about when it talks about the woman's right, when it talks about hijab, when it talks about certain rules and regulations, when it talks about certain ahkam, what is Islam actually talking about? And this is where the woman plays a huge role in pushing forward this Jihad-e-Tabi'een. They need to take it to the social media and talk about the benefits and the advantages a woman has being part of an Islamic system, right? Being part of the system. For example, let me put it this way. In all other cultures, in all other systems, women either are suppressed or they are made to work like other male members in their houses. You know, coming from India, I've seen what women have to go through as part of the Hindu culture, right? Living in the Western world, I lived in Australia and Singapore sometime, I've seen how women are made to work to participate in the expenses of the house. I'm not going to bear all these expenses. You'll have to part in. You'll have to put in some money. You'll have to contribute. Or where do I get that money from? You either go work, or whatever your savings are, or whatever inheritance you have, you got to put in equal money, right? But look at the women as per Islam. Women are told that all your responsibility lies with your husband. And he is supposed to take care of you. He is supposed to provide all the nafaka. He is supposed to provide all the clothing. He is supposed to take you for picnic trips. He is supposed to take you for tafri. He is supposed to provide all these benefits to you, right? So with all those benefits, you are being given certain roles and responsibilities. One, follow hijab. Meaning that there are certain things you need to follow, and along with these comes a bunch of perks for you. And here are all the perks for you. So when you balance them out, you see that the perks and the benefits given either are equal or sometimes are actually more. The father is supposed to take care of the daughter. They are not supposed to pay from their pocket for their wedding expenses. While the couple in the West, they actually pay out of their pockets. Right? So there are so many elements that... So here is where the jihad-e-tabi'in comes into picture. The women should step up. The women should take it to social media. The women should write posts or blog posts or make short videos. Or if not anything from the member, talk about it. If not anything in your own chat groups, talk about it. I have personally seen comments and posts from revolutionary people who believe in Iran, who believe in system of Iran, who believe in Rahbar, who wants to conduct business and trades in Iran to support the economic system of Iran, but they're sitting in a different country. They're writing to me saying that I think Iran should be a little more lenient towards all these protests. The way they're cracking down, this is inappropriate. And with the video clip that the moral police is, you know, arresting the women, and they're like, these are all non-mahram men touching the women and all that stuff, right? Now someone needs to provide an answer. Someone needs to step up and give an answer, right? Most of the time these clips that go out are actually, you know, cut and edited. They only post that part where the police is enforcing the law upon them. But they do not post the pre-part to it where the person was actually misbehaving with the police. I have personally witnessed in the haram, not now, about 3 years ago, that a lady was not wearing her hijab properly. Another chadari woman approached her and told her, can you fix your hijab? She says, why should I? Why do you even care? Who are you? And then she tried to explain very nice, you know, in a pleasant way with a smile that, you know, no, look, it affects people. You are in the haram and all that stuff. She gave a tight slap to this chadari woman. The woman who was not wearing proper hijab gave a tight slap to the chadari woman. Immediately the chadari woman also slapped back and said, don't take us for being, you know, simpletons and being stupid that you would beat us up and then we'll take it. No, if you can raise your hand, I can raise your hand. You better fix your hijab. Right. So point is that now the other side is resorting to violence. I'm not saying you resort to violence, but at least explain it to people who are not witnessing this, who are sitting outside, who are getting information only from BBC, CNN and other networks who are, you know, position themselves to villainize and make, give a villainous look to Iran. Now, if men come in and talk about it, they say, oh. But if women themselves talk about it, it makes a lot of difference. So if we really, look, why are we, you know, this whole discussion that I spoke about, that why Bibi Fatima Salamullah Alayha rose up against the tyrants to protect the wali or the system of wilayat? Are you getting the point? Now the women who are in the house are here, or are the spouses of the scholars here, or tulab, they have a responsibility on them to protect the wali or the system of wilayat. They have to rise up. They have to start a movement here. Again, not a violent one, but a movement among the tulab, among the women who are out of Iran but are willing to support Iran. How do you create the movement? You create content and give it to them and ask them to circulate. Today, the world revolves around media. Today, the world is affected by media. So it is upon the women to create short video clips and send it across and let people understand what really is happening. Send the clips of events that are happening. Today we all saw the pictures of one of the Rouhani being, you know, brutally beaten up and, you know, literally almost assassinated. You know, when I saw the pictures, it was filled with blood. Right? Someone needs to send these pictures out there. Those people who wrote to me saying that Iran came towards the protesters and they sent me those clips of the police, I sent them back all the clips of the protesters who were driving cars upon the police, who were stoning the police, who were literally setting fire to vans and who were pulling chadar from hijabi women. I said, you have problem with hijab and you're saying my body, my hijab, I will decide it. Then who are you to decide about the hijab of another woman? You have no right to pull hijab from other women. And when you present all this data, that is when they open up, they realize, and then they will stay on the track and continue to support Islamic revolution, continue to support Vilayat, continue to support the system of Vilayat. So being spectator is one part, and this is one of the reasons why I said the tullab should condition, the tullab should train their wives to stand up for such movements. These are the moments where it is required for women to step in. So it is upon us to train our wives to take up this responsibility, even provide content to them so that they can make the necessary data, either written posts or video posts, whatever. But just the way they are flooding the social media, somewhere we need to flood the social media and take steps against that. And this is very, very important. Because if we do not do this, if we do not do this, and we lose the system, or we lose this, the Hukumat-e-Islami, which is a huge blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all of us will be answerable on the day of Qiyamah. That why we didn't do anything about it when we were witnessing all that was happening around us, right? And this is where I say that, where should these women get their courage from? From the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And this is why today we are discussing about the revolutionary women, the heroes of Islam. That look at Bibi Fatima salamullah alayha. In her time, she was the only lady who stood up. Imam Ali alayhi salam had few friends left. In Farsi we say angushumar. You can count them on your fingertips. And she was the only lady left. And she didn't rise up just because Imam Ali alayhi salam was her husband. No, she was defending the wilayat. She was defending the system of wilayat. So this is what we need to learn. And this is where we need to get our courage. And we need to learn that this is a path of struggle. This is a path of struggle where the women of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam have struggled and gave a lot on this path. You look at Hazrat Masume salamullah alayha, you see that when she started from Medina, she started with a full caravan. She had a caravan with her. Just like Bibi Zainab, when she started from Medina, she had her caravan with her. But when she reached Save, she was left with very few people. Bibi Zainab salamullah alayha, when she reached Karbala, the battle of Karbala, she was left with nothing. Bibi Fatima salamullah alayha, after the death of her father, she wept bitterly. And Hazrat Masuma salamullah alayha wept bitterly. Bibi Fatima salamullah alayha fell sick. And Hazrat Masuma salamullah alayha fell sick. But brothers and sisters, when she came from Save to Qum, people went looking for her. They ran towards her. They showered flowers on her path, welcoming her. Everyone was wanting to bring her to her to their house as a guest, to serve her, to take care of her, to take care of all the comfort. But what happened to Bibi Zainab salamullah alayha? When she went to Kufa, people were not welcoming her with flowers. They were pelting stones on her. They were slandering inappropriate words and terminologies towards her. They were not welcoming her with flowers, but they were throwing sadaqah on her. They were commenting and tormenting them with their tongues. And when Bibi Fatima, look at her. Bibi Fatima, salamullah alayha. I would say, Bibi Masuma, when she left Medina, she came to Qom. In Qom, she was a visitor. But still, she was not gharib because she was among her Shias. She was among the scholars who were protecting and taking care of her. But look at Bibi Fatima, salamullah alayha. She was in Medina. She was in her hometown. She was in the town of her father. But she was gharib there. No one cared for her. No one came for her iyadat. When her ribs were broken and she was not able to get up and walk, no one asked about her goodness or wellness. No one sent food for her. Rather, they kept complaining that Fatima is crying a lot. Ask her to go out of Medina and cry. You know, Bibi Fatima salamullah alayha was 18 years old, and Bibi Fatima Masuma, she was 28 years old. When she was sick, she was being taken care of and provided with medicine, but nowhere in Riwayat is it mentioned that when she would try to get up, she was not able to get up. Or if she would try and get up and walk, she would take the support of the wall and walk. Bibi Fatima was just 18 years old. But if she tried to get up, her ribs were broken and churned that she couldn't get up from a place. If she had to walk from one place to another place, even a short distance, she had to take support of the wall. This is the seerah of Ahlul Bayt, that with the challenges comes, with the revolution comes challenges, and this is what the path leads to. This is the lesson we learn from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Ala lanatullahi ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. Please recite a surah Fatiha for all the marhumin and marhumat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد. Oh Allah, on this auspicious occasion, on this night of commemoration and mourning, we beg of you to not let anyone of us leave this gathering empty-handed. Bless us with ability of learning, bless us with the opportunity of being part of this movement, being part of the Hausa system. Bless us with good teachers, bless us with good hammubahisi, bless us with good subjects. Help us to understand the content, the subjects, and help us gain knowledge. Help us imbibe that knowledge into our lives, and help us spread this knowledge into our ummah so that the ummah can become more acquainted with the true religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah, help us and grant us the proximity of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. O Allah, keep the Ahlul Bayt and the Imam of the time razi with us. O Allah, those who are sick, grant them recovery, grant them health. O Allah, those who are poor, grant them sustenance so that they are not, you know, needy in front of others except your door. O Allah, those who do not have children, grant them children. O Allah, bless us all with the khair in dunya and akhirat. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin.